Topmost Vaishnava, we know that. Vaishnava Nang Jatha Sambhu. And is very closely connected with Krishna and Vishnu. In Navadvip Mandal Parikrama, we can see there one place is called Hari Har Khetra. There's Hari means Vishnu and Har means Lord Shiva. Both, you know, one, you know, murti, that's one side is Hari and one side is Hara. Means Vishnu and Lord Shiva. So, we know that from Brahma Sangita, Brahmaji explaining and praying, Khirang Jatha Dadhi Vikara Vishesha Jogat. Just from milk, thus Jagrut comes, you know, made by Jagrut made by milk. The Shiva is coming from Vishnu. So there is some close kind of intimate relationship between Lord Vishnu and Lord Shiva. And if we can see in Vrindavan, there are so many places. There is Lord Shiva's murti, like in Kambavan is called Kameshwar Mahadev, in Vrindavan, Gopeshwar Mahadev, in Manasi Ganga, in Vrindavan, is called Chakleshwar Mahadev, in Mathura, it is called Bhuteshwar Mahadev. There's four main predominating deity of Lord Shiva there. So, but there are so many other Lord Shiva's, they have been worshipped in Vrindavan. Like wherever there is Krishna's pastimes and Lord Shiva is there, we can see. One time, Shivaji, Lord Shiva, wanted to participate in the Rasalila dance and he just wanted to become, enjoy, he wanted to become the gopi also. And so, and here we can see the, during the churning of the milk ocean, the many things come out, you know, like elephant and horses and ultimately the poison, and Shiva, Lord Shiva drank it and you know, kept it in the throat. This, that's why it become bluish throat, you know, Nilkantha, it's called Nilkantha. And saved the world from the poisonous effect. And Lord Shiva, and but when the Amrit, you know, the nectar come out from the ocean, and then the demon there wanted to grasp the nectar and wanted to be immortal by drinking that nectar. And the, all those things you have been heard, so many classes. So, and then Lord Vishnu, you know, he just came as a Mahinamurti. And Mahinamurti, that time Shiva was not there. So Shiva wanted to see the, you know, beautiful Mahinamurti. And but Lord Vishnu is saying, no, we should not see that things, the Vishnu Murti, Mahinamurti. But Lord Shiva, even though we know that Shiva is actually, he is actually the husband of Sati, means Parvati, illusory energy. He is controller of the illusory energy and he is the husband of Sati or Uma or Parvati. So he is not been influenced by the, you know, external energy or illusory energy of the Lord. But Lord Vishnu, and he is actually control everything by his internal potency, by Yogamaya. And very easily, Yogamaya can captivate Lord Shiva. So easily he got captivated by Mahinamurti. So it's natural, you know, Yogamaya. But we, the living entity, we are ordinary living entity. What to speak of Yogamaya? Because we are not attached to Krishna. Krishna is full of internal potency. Not only full of internal potency, he has all the potencies. Pararsa Shakti Vividhaiva Sriyate. In Bhagavatam explain that he has multifarious energies. And by all those energies, he accomplishes everything. So very easily Shiva can get attracted by his internal potency. But we, the living entity, ordinary living being, we are actually not attached to the internal potency of Krishna, and we are actually, you know, attached with all the external energy of the Lord, you know, Maya. So it is very difficult to overcome the Maya, the illusory energy of the Lord. But those who surrender unto Him, we know from Bhagavad Gita, Daivihesa Gunamai Mama Maya Durataya. It is very difficult to overcome. But those who surrender to Krishna, then very easily they can surpass the illusory energy of the Lord. So, from Bhagavad Gita, what is the last, actually the last which we are, everybody in the living being in this material world had been influenced by Lord's illusory energy. And from Bhagavad Gita, third in Karma Yoga, third chapter, in 39 number slok, is saying, Abritam jnana metena jnanina nitya vairina kama rupena kaunteya duspurena analena. Lord Krishna explaining to Arjuna, thus the wise living entity's pure consciousness become covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. The lust is not be satisfied, you know, nobody can satisfy the lust. Like if you put the ghee on the fire is become more and more blaze, you know, it's not become satisfied. So in also the next verse in Bhagavad Gita is saying, Indriyani mano buddhi asai adhisthanam uchyate etai vimohete eso jnanam abrita dehinam. The senses, the mind and the intelligence actually the sitting place of this lust. Lust are sitting within our senses, within our mind and in the intelligence. So how can we eradicate lust from the lust is sitting within our intelligence also, within our mind and of course in the senses. So, and through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the living entity and builds us. We cover our intelligence and builds. In Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, Krishna explaining to Arjuna. And also, very next verse, 41, is saying, Tasmat tang indriyani adu niyamai bharata risarva papamanam prajahi enam jnanam vijnanam nashanam. What is saying? Therefore, O Arjuna, best of the Bharatas, in the very beginning, curb the grand symbol of sin, lust, and regulating the senses, and slay the destroyer of knowledge and self-realization. So from the very beginning, you just control your senses and slay, destroy the lust, the topmost sin, which is within, sitting within our heart, within our, you know, intelligence. So for the beginning, you just slay this lust or this, you know, most dangerous sin, which is, you know, sitting in our mind, in our intelligence and in the senses also. So in Bhagavad Gita, in the second chapter, in 70 verse, is saying, Lord Krishna also saying, apurjamanam achala pravistam samudram apa pravishyanti javat tavat kamjam pravishyanti sarve santim apnoti na kama kami. What is saying? A person who is not disturbed by the incessant flow of desires that enter the rivers into the ocean, which is ever being filled but is always still, can alone achieve peace, and not the man who strives for satisfy his desires. So that's the, you know, the all the water from the rivers goes to the ocean, but ocean doesn't become, you know, afflicted for that. So those who are sthita pragna, the intelligent person, he doesn't become disturbed by all this kind of lust, even though the sometimes lust arises within their mind also. So, and there in Srimad Bhagavatam, what is saying in Srimad Bhagavatam? Kechit kevalaya bhakta vasudeva parayana aghang dhunoti kasneya niharavmiva bhaskara. Only a rare person who has adopted complete annulate devotional service to Krishna can uproot the weeds of sinful actions within no possibility that they will revive. He can do this simply by discharging devotional service. Just as the sun immediately dissipates the fog by its rays. When the sun arises in the eastern horizon, then all the fog become dissipated automatically by its rays, by sun's rays. Similarly, when someone render annual devotional service to Krishna, then very easily he can overcome the lust. It has been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 1st chapter, verse 15. And Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, 45 verse, is said, Jam maithunadi grihamedi sukham hitucham, kundoyena karayeva eva dukkha dukham. Tripanti neha kripana bahu dukkha bhajam, kundotivana manasija visayeta dhira. What is saying in this verse? Sex life is compared to the rubbing of two hands. To relieve an itch, when we feel itching somewhere else, we just rub that thing, this place, just to get relief. And those who are Grihamedis, those who are not Krishna conscious, that's called Grihamedi. But those who are following the ideal household life according to Srimad Bhagavatam, it's not to them. But those who are Grihamedi, those who are not Krishna conscious, or those who are not following the Prabhupada ideal household lifestyle, is actually indicated to them. Those who are Grihamedi, so-called Grihasthas, who have no spiritual knowledge, think that this itching is the greatest platform of happiness. Although, actually, this is source of distress. The Kripanas, the fools who are just the opposite of Brahmanas, Kripanas, those who are opposite of Brahmanas, are not satisfied with repeated sense enjoyment, sensuous enjoyment. And those who are dhira, those who are dhira, however, who are sober and who tolerate this itching, are not subject to the sufferings of fools and rascals, the Prabhupada is saying. So, this kind of things I have seen, you know, there's some, where I brought up, there's some cows, you know, they whenever they feel itch and they just, you know, rub that point, itching point in the some tree, and after some time the blood come out and they feel very pain in the place. So, in Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, is been explained that this kind of itching kind of sensuous feeling and ultimately leads to misery and so much pain. In Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila is saying that Kam krodher das hoa tal lathi khai bhromite bhromite jodi sadhu baidya paaye tar upadesh mantre pishachi palaye Krishna bhakti paaye tobe Krishna nikar jaye. In Bengali, it's written in Chaitanya Charitamrita. In this way, the conditioned soul becomes the servant of lusty desires. And when they are not fulfilled, he becomes a servant of anger and continues to be kicked by the external energy maya. You know, sometimes we have seen that, you know, when the horse, the mate or the ass, the mate and the kick, you know, the she ass kick to the male ass. But still, they are so much attached. So, although we have been kicked, you know, again and again by the maya, but still, by maya, wonderfully throughout the he universe, and he may be changed, get the association of devotee physician. When someone associated with the devotee physician or meet some devotee physician, and then whose instructions and humans, and then gradually they can get free from that maya. So, and in Chaitanya Charitamrita also is been explained that kamadinam katina katidha palita durnidesha, is this verse is saying that, oh my Lord, there is no limit to the unwanted orders of lusty desires. There's no limit. It's kind of waves in the ocean is coming one after another. All kind of different kind of desires. So there's no limit. Although I have rendered these desires so much service, they have not shown any mercy to me. All the senses, we are actually serving our own senses. But the senses, they don't have any mercy to me. They are not even feel satisfied. We are just serving our all the senses, and whatever desires comes, one after another, we are just satisfying the desires one by one, but still they are not satisfied, they are not showing any kind of mercy to me. And they are kind of shameless. And I am not also giving them up. This is the situation. Even though this is giving, so much pain to me, but we are not giving them up also. But now, O my Lord, head of the Jodhu dynasty, recently, however, my intelligence has been awakened. And how now I can giving them up due to transcendental intelligence. I now refuse to obey the unwanted orders of these deities, and now come to you, surrender myself at your fearless lotus feet. Kindly engage me in your personal service and save me. This is the prayer. I think Billa Mangal Thakur is praying, and it is mentioned in Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada quoted this verse in Chaitanya Charita Madhya Lila. Prabhupada quoted this verse. So Prabhupada quoted from different kind of shastras in Bhimna Puranas, different Puranas. And in Bhagavatam 10th canto, 33 chapter 39, is been explained that anyone who faithfully have describes the Lord's playful affairs with the young gopis of Vrindavan will attend the Lord's pure devotional service. Because sometimes the outside Bhagavad speaker, they only discuss the 10th canto, because 10th canto is more, things. But we should, Prabhupada saying that we should gradually, from first canto, second canto, just like we just see the deity from the lotus feet and gradually you can go up. But in the 10th canto, so it is a process, whatever Prabhupada taught us and all the gurus, whatever we heard from the Vaishnavas. And here he's saying that the playful affairs within the young gopis of Vrindavan, Krishna, whatever he plays, will attain the Lord's pure devotional service. Thus he will quickly become sober and conquer lust, the disease of the heart. If we narrate the playful kind of things with gopis, it can be opposite also. Somebody become allure of that things also. But those, they can be very easily can overcome the lust if they listen and narrate the playful affairs of the young gopis in Vrindavan with Krishna. They can overcome those things also from their heart. It's written in Bhagavatam also. And also in Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 28th chapter, verse 40, the Sridhar Swami, he just given the commentary on that. Sridhar Swami has given the commentary, and according to Srila Sridhar Swami, by meditation on the Supreme Lord, one can overcome lust and other mental disturbances, and by following in the footsteps of great transcendentalists, one can overcome hypocrisy, false pride, and other mental imbalance. We can very easily can overcome from our false pride, the Hippocratic mentality, hypocrisy, and all the mental imbalance can be overcome. And we can overcome the lust if we meditate on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in this Kali Yuga, there is not recommended meditation. So we can meditate on, and we can chant in very rapt attention, so that like Upadesamita Nectar of Instructions, Srila Rupa Goswami is saying, Sat Krishna Nam Charitadi Sitapta Vidda Pitto Patapta Rasanasa Narachikanu Kintu Adarat Onudinam Khalu Saiva Justa Saddi Kramad Bhavati Tadgata Moolahantri. The holy name is so much sweet, so much nectar in that holy name. But we have the afflicted by the jaundice, so we don't develop any kind of taste. So, but if he every day without fail, carefully and very sincerely chant the holy name, then gradually we develop the taste, and the disease can destroy from the root, from the beginning, you know, from the root we can destroy the disease, and we can gradually you can sweeten, you can release the nectar, the sweeten, the sweet, the holy name, we can develop the taste. The Rupa Goswami been explained in, we know, everybody you know that. So, and also in Bhagavatam, in one place I saw that if he, the four Kumaras, if he pray to Sanat Kumar, then can we can easily become, get attracted to Krishna, and we can overcome the lust. The four Kumaras, Sanat Kumar. The four Kumaras, the son of Brahma. And if he pray to Sanat Kumar, my dear Sanat Kumar, please help me to overcome my sexual desire. So it's written in Srimad Bhagavatam, I have found that we can gradually overcome the sex, you know, desires. And some places is saying that if you see the eyebrows of Krishna, and then also we can overcome sex. In the Srimad Bhagavatam is saying some places. In the eyebrows of Krishna, if you see that. So, and there is, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur in some places, is saying that whenever we are actually get disturbed, we should call out very loudly all the Vaishnavas, you know, the previous Acharya, and the Goswamis, Pukariya, very loudly we should chant, and we should call out their names. So please save me. There is some verse in Bengali actually, so let me check. I cannot remember all those things, you know, there so many things are there. So I have written this on there is things. Kam krodh lobh moh mad matsrata sah jiber jivan pathe basi asachesta rajju phase pathiker dharmanase pranloye kore kosakosi. You know, he's trying to, you know, that all those kind of six kind of enemy, there's lust, anger, greed, illusion, pride, envious, you know, jealous, all those things is actually is on the way, you know, is a hindrance and a stumbling block in our devotional service. So, and they are, you know, we get trapped by all those things. So whenever these things happen, then we should very loudly we should call out the Vaishnavas, you know, the previous acharyas like in Vrindavan, like Goswamis. He Radhe, He Brajadevi ke chalalate, He Nanda Suna Kutaha, like Goswamis. We are not Goswamis, we are Godas, you know, servant of all the senses. But at least, if he can call out and, you know, ask them help us to get rid of that kind of precarious situation, whatever we are, you know, going through. So then maybe by our sincere prayer, they can help us to overcome the situation. That is written by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So, and also in some places it's been written, I have heard that that by worshipping the deity, if you get attached to the deities, and by worshipping the deities also is very is conducive to overcome those our desires, the lust also. So we have seen some of our Maharaj, they have so many Govardhan Silas and so many deities I have seen. So it's written in, you know, some places in Bhagavatam that those who are worshipping deity, sometimes people they say that those who are worshipping deity, they are the Kanishtha Adhikari Bhakta, you know, neophyte. They are worshipping deity, and those who are Uttam Bhakta, very first class devotee, they are preach. But it's okay, but in the Shastras also says, those Krishneti Jasya Gritang Manasadriya Dikhasti Cheta Pranati Vishya Bhajantam Isham. Those who are taking initiation and very sincerely worshipping the deity, we should honor them, and we should, you know, from our heart, we should honor them. And those who are not criticize others, we should associate with them. So Rupa Goswami Pada explaining in Nectar of Instructions. So those who are worshipping the deity, and also we should be develop our desire to worship the deity, and by touching the deity, and our mind, we can uplift our mind, uplift our consciousness, and so that all kind of gross things we can overcome. If you think something subtle, some things, the higher things, then automatically all the gross things can gradually be controlled. Because, it's naturally, it's logical. So, in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Krishna actually instructing Uddhava, his best friend, Uddhava. When any intelligent persons engage constantly, pravaktena bhakti yogena, an intelligent person engages constantly in worshipping me through loving devotional service, as described by me, his heart becomes firmly situated in me, thus all material desires within the heart been destroyed. And also another place is saying, by making plans with determination, one should give up lusty desires for sense gratification. Similarly, by giving up envy, one should conquer anger. By discussing the disadvantage accumulating wealth, one should give up greed. And by discussing the truth, one should give up fear. So when one just contemplating in his mind that how can we accumulate more wealth, so that is also, it's not good for us, those who are practicing devotional service. Because the lust, anger and greed, the three, you know, way we can go to the hell, is written in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam, 3rd canto, 28th chapter, is saying, a yogi similarly meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Hari. We should, you know, meditate on the most benevolent smile of Lord Hari. A smile which for all those who bow to him dries away the ocean of tears caused by intense grief. The yogi should also meditate on the Lord's arched eyebrows, on which are manifested by his eternal potency in order to charm the sex god. The eyebrows which is charm the sex god. If we meditate on that, then we can control our lusty desires. So there's so many things are there. And the last one, what I wanted to say, for one who is meditating on sense gratification, material life, although looking factual existence, does not go away, just as the unpleasant experience of dream do not go away from our mind. So, and also Krishna in some places is saying that maybe sometimes the devotees, even though we are been, you know, listening so many times, but still sometimes also we fall victim in the illusory energy of the Lord. But when we know the result, and if we repent, and by repenting things which are actually abominable, so then gradually we can purify ourselves, we can purify our existence, and can come to the pure consciousness, pure state of consciousness, gradually. It's a kind of gradual process. Even though we know all the sastras, we can narrate things, we can read things, but still all those things cannot go away overnight. So we can pray to the Krishna, all the Vaishnavas, and all our previous Acharya, to bestow their causeless blessing to us, to me specifically, so that we can overcome all those illusory energy which is you can are very much disturbed in the rendering our devotional service. So you can pray and you can ask the their causeless blessings. And I am just praying to all of our devotees, those who are very much, you know, Prabhupada disciples, Sikhi Maitri Prabhu and all. Prabhu from, I don't know exactly, I have seen him so many times there in Mayapur. And all the senior Prabhupada disciples, please bless me so that gradually, by knowing things is not sufficient, but how to overcome things and how can we implement in our own life, day-to-day life, that is more important. Hare Krishna. Is there any comment or question? I don't know, maybe all the senior person there, so they may give you a proper answer. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, microphone. From Srimad Bhagavatam. Canto 11, I think. The verse is in Srimad Bhagavatam. Yeah, Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, 28th chapter. Verse 32. 328.32. If you go through this verse, you can find out the things. If you meditate on eyebrows, then to charm the sex god for the good for of the you can irradiate, you know, whatever the sense desire comes. 328.32. Yeah, if you check in the 328.32, Srimad Bhagavatam is mentioned there. Yes, Prabhuji.
Krishna Prabhuji, I just wanted to ask you, is there any form, subtle form of lust which may be difficult to detect?
What is that?
Is there any subtle form of lust?
Subtle form of lust?
Which may be difficult to detect.
Oh, subtle form? Subtle form of lust. Yeah, there are many subtle things are there. The calm, the lust, all those things are very gross. But to owner, and adoration, these are all subtle things. People, you know, we just want to know that people should worship me, give me honor and prestige, this kind of adoration. These are all subtle things. These are all kind of lusty desires. These are also, it's very difficult to overcome all those things. Maybe the gross things, the lust, may one, you know, conquer or surmount these things. But the subtle things, the kind of adoration, prestige, honor, is very hard to overcome. We need so many followers, people, you know, surrounding me, like, you know, Krishna surrounding by all the gopas, so everybody should surround me and worship me. That's, you know, we feel good sometimes, but it's a kind of subtle kind of desire. It's not good for our... So it's very hard for, you know, to overcome all those subtle desires. But Jaranivasu, Pankajangrifu, whatever we see, that they don't want anything. They don't want to go to, you know, abroad or some kind of, they don't want to become guru, they don't want to become, you know, renounced order of life, sannyasi. Oh, you just take sannyas. No, 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 we don't want to become sannyas. There are so much attached to Radha Madhava, says, you know, staying in Siddham Mayapur, and just Prabhupada instructed them to just take care of the deity here, because the Mayapur is the place of deity worship. Prabhupada saying, Bombay is my office, Vrindavan is my home, and Mayapur is the place of deity worship. And Prabhupada instructed them to do the worship, deity worship here in Mayapur, and so they are so much attached to the deity, and serve to the deities here, Radha Madhava and Panchatattva and all those deities here, Lord Rishingadev, and they don't want to go away, you know, and they don't want to take sannyas, they don't want to become guru also. So that means they don't want any kind of subtle kind of enjoyment, you know. So I don't know, it seems it's there very pure. But people, we are hankering for all those things, all those subtle kind of things. We are very, very difficult to overcome those things. These are subtle desires, lusty desires. Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you for the wonderful class. I just remembered a verse from Bhagavad Gita, chapter 3, text 6. It says, one who restrains the senses of action but dwells on sense objects certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So my question is, now I know that chanting Hare Krishna, we hear from the Shikshashtakam, it cleanses the heart of all the dirt. And so there's also so many other recommended processes like advice associated with devotees, and then just devotional service. So my desire is that I shouldn't be a pretender, and by doing these devotional activities one day we will become pure. But how to keep that hope, because sometimes it seems it's just not, the purification is not happening, the anartas are just so deeply rooted inside. How to keep that mental state of that hope? Yes, it's going to happen one day.
Yeah, we cannot overnight we can become a pure devotee and render pure devotional service. This can be a gradual process. Like when we are chanting, maybe the beginning stage the chanting may be offensive, and then namabhas, nama parat, then namabhas gradually. Like when sun rises in the eastern horizon, in the night time is dark, and when sun rises, they dissipate all the kind of darkness. Wherever there is sun, there is no darkness. So in the beginning, maybe we are not, even though we pretend sometimes, we do not have taste, but still we have to chant. Maybe the offensive chanting, but still we have to chant. Even though the service we are rendering, maybe it's not, because if you don't serve, my authority will not be satisfied. Some or other, even though my mind is not there, but still I have to do something else. We sometimes pretend, sometimes. But gradually we can develop that kind of things. When in the beginning, I just one time went with Bhakti Pushtam Maharaj in Germany, and they have given one kind of fruit. It's called avogadro. The first time I am eating that fruit, avogadro. In India, it's very hard to get avogadro. Avocado. Okay. So then,
it's pronounced differently.
I have seen that things, the fruits. In India, I have not seen before. So nowadays here we can find that avocado. So then, and when I taste it, I didn't like it because no taste there in the avocado. No, I don't want to take. Then Maharaj saying, no, you just take a little bit and gradually you can make develop that taste in that avocado. So, and after 2-3 days I am meeting, I am seeing I am getting better. I want avocado. I want avocado. In South India, when the first time I went for Ratha Yatra in Hyderabad, the first Ratha Yatra in Hyderabad, there are all kind of spicy and hot and chili and sour item there they serve. Lemon rice and what is that kind of rice, all kind of imli, the imli means that, you know, that kind of sour. And I cannot even eat that those things because we are not habituated, accustomed to eat all those kind of things. You know, they're all sour, spicy, hot. How can I survive? You know, 2-3 days we have to stay for Ratha Yatra. But no, you just eat a little bit and then we develop the taste. And then gradually we develop the taste. Similarly, the service, whatever we're doing, maybe in the beginning we don't have any our attention there. We like that, the service, whatever we're doing. Or maybe authority been instructed to do that. But gradually we can develop the taste. So from time immemorial we have so many things are there, you know. We have to cleanse out all the cheta darpana marjanam, what Mahaprabhu is saying. Cleanse all those kind of dirty things which is accumulated in your heart for since time immemorial. So then gradually you can develop taste. Maybe sometimes we pretend or may show off to show others that I am a very, you know, nice devotee and, you know, and very exalted position I have. But ultimately there's no, you know, you will get caught sometimes and some days, whatever we are actually. So we cannot pretend anything else. But in the beginning we have to just follow and then maybe gradually you can overcome the things if we sincerely and carefully and we do things. Hare Krishna.
Prabhu, I have one question. You were talking about taste. So, it says in the Charaka Samhita, which is the text on Ayurveda, that there are 3 tastes that increase sex desire and 3 tastes that decrease sex desire.
What and is that? In Ayurveda, what are you saying?
There are 3 tastes that decrease sex desire and there are 3 tastes that increase sex desire. And first 3 that decrease sex desire, first is astringent, which is like wood or, you know, like cinnamon or dry leaves or powders, like in it's used in Ayurveda, churnams. Then the second taste is bitter, like karela or any bitter taste. And the third is spicy. But like I mentioned that spicy is in the mode of passion. And then, so that's the first part of my question. And the three tastes that decrease the sex desire, that increase the sex desire are firstly, that increase the sex desire the most are sweet, then sour, and then salty. So my question is, how is it spicy, which is in the mode of passion, can decrease the sex desire?
Yeah, but Prabhupada said that...
Because I know Prabhupada used to take chili regularly in his food. And he used to request, if you read the Prabhupada Lilamrita, he would say, you know, there's one part where he's in Vrindavan, and he requests the servants, make sure there's at least 2 chilies in my cooking today, he says, because I... And so
anyway, there's so many places, so many things has been written and we've been hearing maybe. But thing is that we every day if we honor prasadam, whatever the offer, the prasadam is called sattik, shuddha sattik, you know, is beyond goodness, pure goodness. When you offer to the Lord any kind of, not any kind of food, which is sattik food, then it becomes prasadam. And if we honor that thing, the prasadam, then gradually we can become. But Ayurveda, I don't know whatever Ayurveda and what kind of other things saying, I don't know, I don't have any idea. But the simple thing, if we honor prasadam and which is offered to the Lord, to the deity. And
just because I know, like, his Prabhupada used to take chili, that's why I'm asking.
Chili, because maybe in Ayurvedic way, is, you know, the saliva, because of so much, you know, hot, maybe the saliva comes out from our mouth. It's a very easy way we can chew our food properly, and the saliva helps to digest our food properly. That's why maybe, you know, saying to, not everybody can eat chili. You know, many people, they don't want, like,
yeah,
chili.
I guess, so, no, pure goodness.
But I don't know, that all kind of Ayurvedic things and so kind of experiment one may go through, but whatever the prasadam, and not all the prasadam also, sometimes if you have physical problem, you cannot even digest the prasadam also sometimes. But whatever suitable way, you just suit your body. We don't be, you know, so much rigid also. We have to be flexible. And whatever suit your body, you just eat that things, offer to the deity, and just chant. And just do your specific service. And then gradually you can develop your things.
Yeah, thank you. That sounds very good. Thank you for that answer. The second question is completely unrelated, and that is that I met some Indian who's an aspiring bhakta, and it's currently going around in the news that India has sent spaceships and robots to the moon. And as we read from Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that it is impossible for us in the present...
Okay, I'll talk to you some other time. Now this time is over and we have to do some puja to the Narsingadev.
Or does anyone else have any questions?
Maybe someone else can answer your questions. Sorry, excuse me. Hare Krishna.
Jai! Jai! Hari Hari Bol!